April 12th, Esther, chapters 6 through 7.
On that night, the king could not sleep, and he gave orders to bring the book of memorable deeds, the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written how Mordecai had told about Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's eunuchs, who guarded the threshold, and who had sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. And the king said, "What honour or distinction has been bestowed on Mordecai for this?" The king's young men who attended him said, "Nothing has been done for him." And the king said, "Who is in the court?" Now Haman had just entered the outer court of the king's palace to speak to the king about having Mordecai hanged on the gallows that he had prepared for him. And the king's young men told him, "Haman is there, standing in the court." And the king said, "Let him come in." So Haman came in, and the king said to him, "What should be done to the man whom the king delights to honour?" And Haman said to himself, "Whom would the king delight to honour more than me?" And Haman said to the king, "For the man whom the king delights to honour, let royal robes be brought, which the king has worn, and the horse that the king has ridden, and on whose head a royal crown is set. And let the robes and the horse be handed over to one of the king's most noble officials. Let them dress the man whom the king delights to honour, and let them lead him on the horse through the square of the city, proclaiming before him, 'Thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honour.'" Then the king said to Haman, "Hurry, take the robes and the horse, as you have said, and do so to Mordecai the Jew, who sits at the king's gate. Leave out nothing that you have mentioned." So Haman took the robes and the horse, and he dressed Mordecai and led him through the square of the city, proclaiming before him, "Thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honour." Then Mordecai returned to the king's gate. But Haman hurried to his house, mourning and with his head covered. And Haman told his wife Zeresh and all his friends everything that had happened to him. Then his wise men and his wife Zeresh said to him, "If Mordecai, before whom you have begun to fall, is of the Jewish people, you will not overcome him, but will surely fall before him." While they were yet talking with him, the king's eunuchs arrived and hurried to bring Haman to the feast that Esther had prepared. So the king and Haman went in to feast with Queen Esther. And on the second day, as they were drinking wine after the feast, the king again said to Esther, "What is your wish, Queen Esther? It shall be granted you. And what is your request? Even to the half of my kingdom, it shall be fulfilled." Then Queen Esther answered, "If I have found favour in your sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be granted me for my wish, and my people for my request. For we have been sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be killed, and to be annihilated. If we had been sold merely as slaves, men and women, I would have been silent, for our affliction is not to be compared with the loss to the king." Then King Ahasuerus said to Queen Esther, "Who is he, and where is he, who has dared to do this?" And Esther said, "A foe and enemy, this wicked Haman." Then Haman was terrified before the king and the queen. And the king arose in his wrath from the wine drinking and went into the palace garden. But Haman stayed to beg for his life from Queen Esther, for he saw that harm was determined against him by the king. And the king returned from the palace garden to the place where they were drinking wine, as Haman was falling on the couch where Esther was. And the king said, "Will he even assault the queen in my presence, in my own house?" As the word left the mouth of the king, they covered Haman's face. Then Harbona, one of the eunuchs in attendance on the king, said, "Moreover, the gallows that Haman has prepared for Mordecai, whose word saved the king, is standing at Haman's house, 50 cubits high." And the king said, "Hang him on that." So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then the wrath of the king abated.
Tragedies transformed into victories. Mary Wilson. God is the ultimate hero in the great drama of redemption. While we celebrate Esther's courage and shrewdness in these chapters, ultimately it was God who outmaneuvered wicked Haman and saved the day for his people. His providence brought the king's sleepless night, his investigation of the Book of Memorable Deeds, and his desire for counsel at the very moment Haman lurked within his court. The timing and dramatic irony confirm God's authority over human history. Throughout Scripture, God's enemies who set themselves against him and against his chosen servants ultimately fail. They may rage for an allotted period of time, but God will bring his full justice upon them and vindicate his people. The serpent bruised the heel of the woman's offspring, but God's own son, born of a woman, bruised the serpent's head. Balak schemed wickedness against God's people in the wilderness, but God transformed his curse into blessing. Nebuchadnezzar demanded that God's people worship his golden image, but God shielded his covenant keepers from the fiery furnace. Herod killed and imprisoned apostles to oppress the church, but God multiplied his gospel through their suffering and struck Herod with worms. Above all, God's victory at Calvary showcased his supreme wisdom to outflank his enemies. As Paul wrote to the Colossians, God disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them through Christ's death and resurrection. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. Like the 75-foot wooden gallows Haman had built outside his home to destroy and shame Mordecai, the tree upon which Satan intended to destroy and shame Jesus Christ became the very place where Jesus openly triumphed over him. God turns the ultimate evils into the ultimate redemptions. The triumph of the cross and the empty tomb stripped God's enemies naked and exposed their ultimate impotence before him. Though they will continue to rage until that day when Jesus uses them as his footstool, he has dealt their decisive death blow. All glory and honor to our King. Does your life's story ever feel like a tragedy? Do you ever wonder about the outcome? Christian sister, God has redeemed you from the hands of the bitterest enemies and reversed your fortunes in Christ. Amid your momentary sufferings, remember His sovereign rule and rest confidently in your hero's commitment to transform your tragedies into His grand triumph.